contribution to this show titled Monument to the Vanquished Peasants. It requires a bit of a preamble. The work was originally created in 2016 for Urgent Imagination. And that was a symposium that was curated and developed by Caitlin Jones and hosted at the Western Front. And that invited numerous artists and artist collectives, both local and international, to reflect on the global housing unaffordability crisis within the context of Vancouver's Mount Pleasant neighborhood and where the Western Front is located. My contribution was developed as a site-specific installation for an empty lot on the 300 block of East Broadway Street. And that was on view for about 3 months. So in 2016, when Caitlin invited me to create a project for Urgent Imagination, I was attempting to return to living in Vancouver after about a 3-year stint, kind of doing international residencies and working on a project called The Pavilion, which is up in the Heffley Creek area. Past Kamloops in Suquamish territories. So I was kind of going back and forth between other places and that place and trying to move back to Vancouver. So I was finding it increasingly difficult to support myself as an independent visual artist here in Vancouver due to the housing crisis and employment precarity and the dramatically increasing costs of living. So it was just becoming this like really difficult place to come back to. And I had always assumed I could just come back here whenever. And I realized I couldn't. It was when Caitlin invited me to do this project, I realized it was at the moment when I was like officially priced out of living and working in Vancouver. So this project was kind of a form of public farewell to a place that I really do love, and I still do love this place very much. So I had been researching the historical commons in Europe and the development of the enclosure system. And if you don't know, this is when the kind of lands that were feudally owned were kind of fenced in, and the peasants who were working the land for their sustenance, they were kind of blocked from being able to access this. And so there was a bloody peasant uprising, which happened in the 1500s, and the peasants lost. So the enclosures persisted, etc. And the parallels between the historical exclusion of the serfs from the land and therefore also their sustenance, cultures, and traditions, and the growing contemporary inability for workers to live in the cities in which they performed their labor became the focus of my project. So it's also, of course, worth mentioning here that the eventual result of this process of displacement of European peasants from the commons through the enclosure system was the further displacement and disenfranchisement of North American indigenous peoples, communities, and cultures from their lands and traditions through European settlement on these territories. So injustice produces injustice and goes on and on. But it was not my aim with this project to speak directly to that Indigenous experience of genocide, but rather I wanted to activate that specific space of a former greengrocer whose business was mysteriously burned to the ground. So this space on 300 block of East Broadway Street, there was a greengrocer there, and it went up in flames. And then, of course, the next step was a condo was going to be developed there. So I chose that as my location to focus the project. And what I wanted to do with that was to kind of provoke a reflection on current issues of class, precarity, labor, sustenance, and community within that global urban neoliberal context, which Urgent Imagination was kind of addressing. So that's the long preamble part. So in my research on the peasant uprisings, I came across a drawing from Albrecht Dürer, who's an artist that you might be familiar with for his like beautiful drawings of like rabbits and things like that, from 1525. And the drawing was an instructional diagram for the construction of a monument commemorating the bloody defeat of the peasant class during the revolts, along with a set of written instructions, which I found pretty fascinating. In Durer's diagram and instructions, he outlines how a victorious feudal lord, after defeating the peasants in battle, could gather and arrange the accoutrements of the peasants and then systematically stack them to create a living monument of their own defeat. He describes placing livestock in a quadrangle at the base of the monument, and progressively building up a tall column, which includes such implements as a butter churn, hose, and pitchforks, a chicken coop full of chickens, etc., and topping it off with an actual peasant, notably with a sword struck through his back. So you can see, this is part of the drawing here, you can see the kind of stacking of things that a peasant might have owned, the few meager things that they might own, and the peasant himself sitting on top with the sword clearly visible in his back. So Durer's drawings and instructions are really interesting, as they are a plan for an unrealizable or at least ephemeral sculpture, since it's comprised of living creatures. His plan seems to want to satisfy the impulse to commemorate the feudal lord's victory through sculptural language. The sword in the back, however, of the peasant hints at dishonorable conduct, as their victory was gained through deception. That's really kind of like a focal point, you know, of this drawing. So Durer is really kind of revealing that aspect of the battle in his plan for this non-existent sculpture. So what's interesting to me about Durer's monument is therefore the ambiguity of its meaning, which has been discussed by scholars as the first known European artwork whose meaning or purpose might be actually have been to provide a political commentary or raise ethical questions, as artists at that time, including Durer himself, produced work on commission for these feudal lords or the churches, whom the lords also controlled. So dissent against these people could foreseeably have been punished by death. So was Durer expressing through this work class solidarity, or was this work really meant to be a kind of commemoration of the victory? Nobody really knows, and there's some interesting kind of art historical debates on that. I decided to recreate his drawing on this banner and raise it on a pole on that site. So what you see here is a kind of reconfiguration of what was on site. So if you can picture this kind of like empty lot with a kind of concrete ground, I raised a 20-foot steel flagpole, so it was kind of taller, and I raised the banner. I also printed a set of the instructions, which are in a stack of posters here, so you can see the kind of exact like list of the dimensions for the monument that like you could potentially kind of build your own monument following these instructions. The poster was printed and laminated and stuck to the ground. And at the base, so this plinth here is conforms to one of the configurations of the base pieces listed in the instructions. But on site, I had at the four corners of this dimension of a square below the drawing, I had placed a bushel at each corner, so four bushels, produce bushels, and I had filled them with produce. And over the 3-month duration of the project on site, I would buy, you know, cheap vegetables, potatoes, cabbages, onions, and fill the bushel baskets. And I wasn't sure like what was going to happen with placing these like baskets of vegetables out in public. I wasn't sure if people would kind of just like take them and smash them or whatever. But the baskets remained in place and people were coming and taking the vegetables. And when I visited the site a few times, I happened to have some conversations with some folks who had been taking and gathering the vegetables, and they were thanking me for the gift of these vegetables. And we had conversations around like economical, like one pot recipes, so people could like go and cook them up and make something nourishing on their hot plates with those. So that was like a really interesting, for me, the kind of richest part of the project was actually sort of what happened as these things were kind of shared and those conversations. And there was a real kind of affinity, I think, to the peasants that were described here. But for this installation here, I was not able to provide the raw vegetables. There's a collection here. Instead, I cast some russet potatoes in iron, which is a nod to the European peasant staple crop and my own Irish ancestors who ended up settling here after potato famines. Please take a copy of the poster and also consider how, what, and why we might honor acts of subsistence and labor, and what might constitute victory, citizenship, and community. So thank you very much.